amen, under his wings. And what a blessing that is. If you can just picture that, gives you a visual of Almighty God just watching over us and being our protector. And so praise the Lord for that song. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. Wednesday nights we've been going through and preaching and teaching on the life of Joshua. And we, of course, started way back and even before we got into the book of Joshua to look to see what God had presented to us about the man Joshua. And that was a blessing, learning from that. Now we've come through until we get to chapter 9 tonight. And, of course, they are in the promised land. They had a tremendous victory at Jericho. Then they had a defeat at Ai, and they had to get turned back around and reestablish some things in their lives. And then they had to go back to Ai to get the victory at Ai. And you always want to go back into those defeats and get the victory and learning what God has you to learn as you go through those things. They went back, they got the victory. And now, of course, we're in chapter 9. And chapter 8, verse 35, this was the end of chapter 8 and the victory they got. And the Bible says, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. Now, that was important because after Joshua's victory at Ai, they honored God. They built the altar there. And they honored his word, and that is something that we must do as well. Always honoring God, but honor his word. And he instructed them to write it down they plastered the stones that they brought out, and they wrote the word of God down. And then Joshua read every word to all the people. And we need to continue to have God's word as we do in every church service. We read it. And then we give the understanding of that so that we can all be strengthened by the truths of the Word of God. And it's just found throughout the Scriptures, but this is for our learning and our understanding as we study the Old Testament stories and learn from them. So now chapter 9, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to 11. Joshua chapter 9. Everybody in church tonight? I know you're in the building, but are we in church? Are we knowing? Are we aware of where we're at and what we have before us? We're getting ready to read the Word of God. We're getting ready to ask God to speak to us through it, and God works through the preaching and the teaching of His Word. And so Almighty God has a message for us tonight, and I trust that we'll all plug in and get a hold of this message. Joshua chapter 9. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side of Jordan in the hills and in the valleys and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittites and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and unto Ai, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua and to the camp of Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. How therefore make ye a league? Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us. How shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake unto us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore, now make ye a league with us. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again, we thank you for this opportunity to be assembled together. Lord, thank you for your presence already that we have sensed as we have been here and through the music and the specials. Now, God, as we've opened up your word, we have read it exactly the way that you have preserved it for us. And there's so much that we need to learn from this tonight. Pray that you would just bless and empower the preaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Joshua chapter 9. Joshua would face a different kind of warfare. The message tonight is the warfare of Gibeon. The warfare of Gibeon. There would be no swords, no spears, no arrows, no shields. But a very important battle would be fought. It's a different battle. It's a different battle than Joshua's faced up to this point. 2 weeks ago, I think on the evening service, as we're teaching and preaching on the life of Christ, Jesus took his disciples to Gadara. And as he took them to Gadara, it was to introduce them to demonic possession. And he taught on a lot of that, and he delivered the man. And they experienced all that because it would be a part of the rest of their lives, spiritual warfare. And even in the Old Testament, and I know things were different to a certain extent, but these principles are even taught in the Old Testament concerning the spiritual warfare that we face even today. And I believe that's what this warfare of Gibeon is all about. It's a different battle. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 12, and if you want, you can turn there. I'll read it to you, but write it down because it's a very important passage of Scripture. It's in the book of Revelation to reveal to us that this is something that God wants us to understand as we go into the end days, especially. But he reveals to us where this spiritual warfare came from. And Satan was very much alive and active in the Old Testament, looking to defeat the children of Israel. And the Bible says here in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So we know the dragon's going to be the devil, and his angels are going to be these spirits, ministering spirits that do the will that Satan has for them, which could be described as demons as well. He fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Now, that's very important because the whole world is deceived by the devil. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God, of our God, and the power of his Christ. Brings us to the New Testament. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's the devil. And they overcame him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It's through Christ that we can overcome the devil. It's through Christ and his blood that we can overcome any demonic activity, any demonic warfare that we might have to fight. And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Some things are more important than even death. It's how we live life. How we die in the will of God. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come. He's come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And then he knows he's going to be cast into an eternal lake of fire, an eternal hell. And he's wanting to take as many with him as he can take with him. And as we get closer to the end, he's going to work that much harder to deceive the whole world to the truth of Christ and his blood and his word. And that's something. Christianity without the blood is not Christianity. Right. And yet so many so-called Christian churches have taken the blood out of anything that they sing, anything that they teach, because it's offensive to some people. Without the blood, you do not have any defense against the devil. Without the truth of the Bible, you have no defense against the devil. Revelation chapter 12 reveals to us where this all comes from. And now even we can apply it in the Old Testament, especially here with the warfare of Gibeon. Deceiveth the whole world, and he knoweth that he has a short time. In chapter 9, it starts out with the physical battle that Joshua would need to fight, the open conflict. You see, because we fight a physical battle. We live a physical life. There is a spiritual life that's even more important than the physical life, but we have to live. We live this physical life. That's what we have. That's the time that we have here. It's physical. It's based upon appointed unto man wants to die. It's based upon God giving us life. Amen. And so we have a physical life to live. And in the physical life to live, there's going to be physical battles. This battle in conquering the land of Canaan, the people of that land, those Canaanites, and they had all kinds, it was a wicked mentality. It was a very un-Christ-like life that they all lived in the land of Canaan. They worshiped false gods. They sacrificed human sacrifices. They had no restrictions on morality. This is what was in Canaan, and God was going to defeat them. And he was going to use Israel to defeat them and give the land to Israel so that they could use it to glorify the God of heaven. And that's what's taking place with Israel going into the land of Canaan. God was judging the sin of all the inhabitants of Canaan. And Israel was God's representation of God. And so he was using Israel to judge the evil in Canaan and then give them the land, which was promised by God to them. He had already defeated in the land. Now we find that they know that he has defeated their strongest, most powerful city. with the walls of Jericho. And then they thought that they might have had a little chance when Israel was defeated by Ai. And then they hear that they go back and they end up defeating Ai. And so the physical and the natural ways of doing things is, they're coming after us next. Let's form a league and let's band together and let's see if we can't together fight against the nation of Israel. And that's what's taking place here. All the coast, all of the people, all of those in the land, all the kings, all the people, they had a disagreement of themselves. They all had different kings and different gods that they worshiped. But when it came to the God of Israel, they forgot about all their differences and they united to fight against the God of Israel. The Bible says they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. I guarantee you the world will unite to fight against Christianity. The world will unite to fight against what Jesus Christ taught as the will of God. And we find that this is taking place with the physical battle. Can I tell you, if we're not careful, we'll be so focused on the physical battle that we'll lose sight of the spiritual battle. We stand for Christianity, and we stand for a lot of powerful battles today. Abortion, the killing of unborn babies. We stand against that. That does not mean that those who have abortions are the enemies. No, they're the ones Satan's blinded. And they're the ones that have to live the rest of their lives with the thought of killing their own babies, which brings natural conviction. Because God instilled within you to love your babies. Amen? We stand against alcohol. But those who consume alcohol are not the enemies. They're the victims. Blinded into thinking that even a Christian can drink alcohol. And yet that goes opposite what the Bible teaches. There's so many battles. And if we're not careful, we'll just focus on the physical and we'll look at the enemy of being the individuals and we'll fight them. And that's not our fight. Our fight is more of a spiritual nature. We're going to have to fight physical battles, but we have to be aware of the spiritual battle first. All the nations of Canaan came together to fight against God's people. The world is doing that today. And they're doing that today by calling good evil and evil good. Something that in America we've always acknowledged as being evil if it's opposite the teachings of Christ. But that's not the case today. Because there's a lot of people blinded to the truths of God. We knew it was prophesied. We know Satan's here. It's going to get worse as we get closer to the end days. And he knows his time's limited. And so he's going to look to deceive even more and more. All the different things we've already said here. But over in the book of Isaiah, write this down if you haven't found it. But Isaiah chapter 5, the prophecy of Isaiah presents this. He says in verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Now, we acknowledge evil and we acknowledge good. Is it because of a preference? No. It's because of the words of God and that which is natural that God has established. God's established, as far as natural relationships, God establishes good. If you go against nature, it is not good, it's evil. If it goes against biblical principles, it's not good, it's evil. So woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. And that's where it comes from. Their own thinking, their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Woe unto them. That ought to help us right there. Fermented wine, not the fruit of the vine, which is grape juice, but the fermented wine. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Woe unto them, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteous of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That one who established what is good and what is evil. That one that established nature, natural. Woe unto all of those. But because Satan is working very hard to deceive the world, most of the world calls that which is evil good. And you better not stand up against it, and you better not speak out against it, because then you're evil. And presents that which is good as being evil. That which God created in a natural environment. Bible and nature is what we have to look to. The Bible, first and foremost. That's what Jesus came to fulfill and establish for the church age, the last days, the Bible. That's why there's such an attack on the Bible today. And those that are against this Bible are not the enemy, it's the devil's the enemy. They have just believed his lies and deceptions. When you change what this Bible says, it's easier to block out things that you don't want to accept and maneuver around things that you do want to receive. The Bible, it's the key. Don't ever lose sight of that. And as we have the Bible, then common sense looks to nature. I mean, common sense looks out and said there is an intelligent design in everything. And how in the world can we support that which goes against nature in relationships? Even in young married couples, you got to be careful, because you're going to fall prey to the world's teachings and philosophies on relations. And we had better not only look to the Bible, but we better look to the natural things that God established. Wow. Joshua had been expecting a battle with the other kings and the other inhabitants of the land. Expecting that battle. He wasn't aware of the spiritual battle. the battle that he would fight concerning the warfare of Gibeon. Natural, ready for that. But there's more to it than the physical life that we live. There's a spiritual warfare taking place. And before you win or lose the physical battles, you win or lose the spiritual battles. That's what we learn from the scriptures. That's what we learn from the devil deceiving the whole world. That's what we've studied here. That's what Jesus was making sure the disciples understood: demonic activity, how Satan works, because we have to be aware of that spiritual battle. So we have an example here of how Satan works through Gibeon. The battle, the warfare of Gibeon, represents the devil's warfare. I trust you'll see this and it'll help you. First of all, an enemy presenting themselves as being a friend. How many would rather have a friend, a new friend, than a new enemy? Yeah. No one wants enemies. But there are those that are following after the devil, and the devil's the enemy, and they become pawns in the devil's hands, and we had better be aware of a spiritual battle that Satan will try to work through individuals to defeat us. Warfare. Satan's still the enemy. But those that yield to his thinking are not innocent. They have yielded to wrong thinking. They have yielded to an evil influence, and they're taking stands against the things of Christ, against biblical truths, because they're blinded, they're deceived themselves. So they're not the enemy. But we have to be aware of how Satan will work through individuals. So an enemy presenting themselves as being a friend. That's Gibeon. They saw the power of Israel's God. They saw all the other nations gathering together. They could have joined with the other kings and the other nations. But in their minds, the God of Israel is stronger than all of us put together. So while they're focused on fighting the physical battle, let's devise a spiritual battle that does not include weapons of warfare. But let's try to deceive and lie and appeal to their pride and suggest things to them. If we suggest enough to them, some of it might stick. Second Corinthians chapter 11, that's how the devil works. 2 Corinthians, let me just read this to you. Everybody with me tonight? Amen. Are you in church? All right, I just wanted to make sure. 2 Corinthians, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 13. I mean, it really is powerful thinking here. I mean, we have to be aware of what's taking place. There is a physical battle. We are all fighting physical battles, but there is more to our lives than just physical battles. There are the spiritual battles, and they are the most important. Losing this spiritual battle against Gibeon impacted Israel for the rest of their existence in the Promised Land. Losing a battle to Ai, they was able to go back and readdress that and win that battle. No harm, really. Learned something from it. The battle against Gibeon did more damage than any other battle they would fight. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. We're just like you. We believe what you believe. We're your friends. We want to join you. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, calling evil good and good evil. That's one way to find out if they truly are representing Christ. If they are not in support of the Bible, they are not in support of what God established as nature, they are not the apostles of Christ. Whose end shall be according to their works and what they're supporting. The enemy's warfare that they used is exactly what the Bible reveals as being the spiritual warfare that the devil himself uses. Verse 4 and 5, look what they did. They did work wilily. That's important. We're going to study what the Bible says about that with the devil. And went and made as if, the deception here, trying to get them to think something that's not true. Have you ever experienced anything like that? You've been here around politics over the last 4 years? Trying to, if you say it long enough and loud enough, then people will start believing it. Whether it's true or not, that doesn't make any difference. If you say it loud enough and long enough, people will start believing it because that's what's in their minds. So they did work wily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles and old. What they're developing a deception. So when Israel would look upon this group of those that wanted to ambassadors that wanted to present a treaty with Israel, when they looked upon them, what they saw was what they wanted them to see. That would confirm their lies. But the deception and what they would see would be the first thing that they would have to deal with. Trying to make things appear different than what they are. And they'll work against your eyes and what you see. The appearance and what you feel. And can I tell you, you cannot base what you believe on what you see and what you feel. Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 11. Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 11 here. And this is, Paul presenting this spiritual warfare and this putting on our spiritual armor and all the different things there. It's a powerful passage of scripture. But verse 11 says this, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the, there's that word, wiles of the devil. They did work wilily. Same thing. This perception of something that's not real. In the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, let me read this to you because it goes right along with what we just taught. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 says this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. If you're not aware of how Satan works, he's going to get an advantage of you. If you're not aware of how the world is trying to join arms and deceiving the true gospel of Christ, you're going to fall prey to that, through that deception. But we're not ignorant of his devices. Jesus revealed to us in the book of Revelation, he came and he deceives the whole world. The thing that we have to fight against more than anything else is deception. brought on by the world. The more that we have contact with the world, the more apt you're going to be deceived. I guarantee if you're watching primetime television, they're looking to deceive you into thinking the way they want you to think. And whatever it might be, the family, workplaces, morality, if you watch enough television, you are going to be blinded by the deception that they are using to make you think something different than what the Bible teaches. And when you understand that and you do watch, you think, wow, I mean, it is night, as clear as it can be. Satan often dresses up evil to appear and feel good. Well, if it feels so good, how can it be evil? And the world will encourage you to go by your feelings. But the truth of it is, feelings change. Sometime, as I often say, over one word, your feeling of love changes to a feeling of hate when they tell you no. Does that mean you really hate that person? No, but you feel it. And if you think that your feelings are accurate, then you will hate that person, because they deprived you of something that you think that they should have let you do in teenagers. Yeah. You can't go by feelings. Satan uses feelings, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, pride of life, to deceive. Satan uses appearance of things to deceive. Yeah. Deception. Deception led into, back over in our text in Joshua chapter 9, I've got to quit here. I'm going to have to save some of this for next week. But verse 6 through verse 9, what follows deception? The feeling, the appearance, the lie. So they led off with the deception. Now because you have this visual and you have this in front of you, you're more apt to believe the lie. But it's a lie. Verse 6. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal and said unto him, to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now they have the deception of all their clothing and all the bottles and everything else, as if they had come from a far country. And so now they're saying the words. And they're more apt to believe the words if they have accepted the deception. We be come from a far country. Lie. They're only 6 miles away. We be come from a far country. No. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us. They had somewhat thought about that. How shall we make a league with you? And they said to Joshua, we are thy servants. Lies. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye and from whence you come? And they said unto him, from a very far country. And that's a lie. But they're saying it over and over again. If they say it over and over again, you're more apt to believe it. Well, now they said that two or three times and look at their victual, I mean, the appearance of things. They must be from a far country. No. It was filled with deception that led into lies. And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. Oh, we so are impressed with your God. No. That's not what you're looking to do, is get saved. That's not what you're looking to do, is to take on the worship of the God of Israel. You're not looking to do that. You're lying. Your lies are connected to your deception. They lied about where they came from. They lied about their reverence for Israel's God. They lied about being Israel's servants. The enemy's warfare, devices, deception, followed by lies, followed by pride, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. What do you mean, pride? They made an appeal to Israel's pride. Your God's so good. Your God is so powerful. We've seen how he works. Oh, we have such a desire to worship your God and to be one of his servants. And that's not why you're doing this. But they knew that if they built up Israel's God, then Israel, not only would they be deceived and believe the lie, they would be puffed up with their pride. Now, we are great people, aren't we? Oh, yeah, you should want to be like me. You should want to be like our God. Pride. The last thing that Satan does and what he will use, he'll plant suggestions in our mind. You understand that's part of demonic activity? Satan doesn't know what you're thinking. He knows your past thoughts and how you've responded to his temptations because you've given that to him. He can't control your mind, but he can suggest thoughts to your mind. I can imagine, verse 11, wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. He put in their minds, you know, we've already got all these other kings, and it might be helpful to have a little more support. So if we make a league with them, they'll be for us, and they're already for us. They've just come from a long country. So we'll have some assistance to help us with the physical battles with the rest of the kings of Canaan. That would have been part of their thinking, to make a league with Gibeon. And that was a thought that was placed there by the devil himself. How do you know Satan's able to do that? Matthew chapter 16. I got to stop, but let's finish this out right here. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. How do you know that? Well, I can vouch personally about that. I know that it happens. I know that I've had to address many of suggestions to my own mind that Satan puts there. We find here that Jesus wanted the disciples to realize that Satan's able to do that. After Jesus addressed Peter, Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be. Peter said that. Where did that come from? Jesus tells us. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter said something that was really planted in his mind by the devil to be a hindrance to the Christ. And because of Peter not even realizing that this thought was planted by the devil, Jesus addressed Peter. And as he addressed Peter, he addressed the devil in speaking through Peter. Wow. If Satan's able to do that in the Old Testament, Satan's able to do that in the New Testament, mark it down. He's going to do it in your life. We fight the physical battle, but we better be aware of the spiritual battle. Because losing that spiritual battle is going to do more damage than maybe even losing that physical battle. Make sure that your thinking is your thinking and not a suggestion that the devil has placed in your mind. That'll help you. I can't tell you how many times I've had thoughts come to my mind that were not my thoughts. But if I was not aware of the devil, I would have accepted as being my thoughts and my desires and my feelings, my wants. But I realized it was not of God, and did not come from the Bible, and didn't come from nature, and it came from something that I should not have on my mind. And I do as Christ did. I address myself and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because that thought that I just had was not mine, that's the devil's, and I am not going to yield to that thought. Wow. I got to quit. We're done. The warfare of Gibeon. We're going to see where they failed. Next Wednesday night, we'll look at their failures so that we can be helped by their failures and not to have those very same failures. Tonight, just be aware of the warfare of Gibeon as a spiritual warfare that we all fight. If I could have ever head bowed tonight. Don't know exactly just how you're able to receive that powerful truth. God spoke to you tonight through that, and you need to make an application. Do it. Maybe there's some thoughts that you've been yielding to that really you shouldn't be yielding to because they're coming from a spiritual battle. Maybe you've been deceived. Could be by a coworker in your ear or a television host that you've been focused on listening to. Or I could go on and on and on, but it's deception. And the lies are going to follow the deception. Let's stay focused on the Bible and what God has established as natural. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you for the truth, and thank you for your word, and I pray that you'd help us to understand it so that we can help all that we can help. And we can love as you love humanity. And we can possibly keep somebody from being blinded to doing something that they will live with regrets to for the rest of their lives. Help us, Lord, to represent our Christ. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.